appreciate the good song service this morning. Is there a word of testimony on anyone's heart before we get into the word of the Lord? Amen. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. Amen. Amen. God bless Sister Virgie. Yep, the Lord lets us know that burden that we feel of the guilt of sin when He speaks peace to our heart. We experience the joy in our heart. And I do believe, like you, Sister, you know, the Lord speaks to us through His Spirit, and we know that God's given us that peace. Someone else. I'm going to be reading from the book of Daniel in just a moment. Anything else on your hearts? Daniel chapter 3 is where I'm going to be reading from. And the book of Daniel, you know, when I think about the book of Daniel, for me it speaks to us in a number of ways. The book of Daniel is an account of history. It contains visions and prophecies. In fact, Daniel is often referred to as the companion to the book of Revelation. Because it also contains views, if you will, of the end times that are eventually going to befall humanity. But the book of Daniel is also a book about people. And there is much that we can learn from the lives of people of faith. And specifically, I'm talking about the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in Daniel chapter 3, I want to begin reading with verse 12. I wish we had more time and I could read more. I'm going to read quite a bit, but I wish we had time to just read the whole thing. But I'm going to begin in verse 12. And it tells us in chapter 3 and verse 12 that there were certain Jews whom hath set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, they have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So you go read what's said before. I'm starting here today, and you'll see that a decree was made that when a certain time, when the music was played, that you know everyone was supposed to bow down and worship these gods and worship this golden image. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true? Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, and at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vision was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake, and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats, and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied. And he rose up in haste, and he spake and said unto his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spake and he said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." I know that's a little lengthier than I normally read, but I thank the Lord for the reading of his word today. I'm going to use as a text verse 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, and this is what it says, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." In my scripture reading in Daniel, in this account, we see how these three men handled the trials, the sufferings, and how by faith these men prevailed and they experienced victory over the wickedness that was upon them and the evil of men. These three men, they were tried by fire. They were put to the test. More specifically, their faith was put to the test. And they were commanded to bow down by King Nebuchadnezzar, bow down to the image that was made or burn. That was the options that was given. They refused to bow, brothers and sisters, and they were cast, as I read, into that fiery furnace. But I hope you heard as I read that they did not burn and that they did not die. When we hear the phrase, "they're on fire," what comes to mind? You know, we never want to hear that term in the literal sense. We never really want to hear that people are literally on fire. Sadly, accidents happen and we do hear about things of that nature. In our reading, these three men, they were literally cast into a fire. But it's also a term that people use sometimes, and you know, we hear it sometimes in the sports arena, I guess. You know, we got a basketball player who's out on the court, and you know, every time he touches the ball, he makes a shot. It doesn't matter if it's a free throw shot. It don't matter if it's a three-pointer. It don't matter if it's a layup. It don't matter if it's a dunk. But every time he touches the ball, he's shooting it and he scores it, and the announcers are saying, "He's on fire. He is on fire. He can't miss. He can't do any wrong." I remember when I was in sales, and on the occasion that things were good, that I was getting new customers, and that the orders were coming in, and we were getting big orders. I remember many times management would say, "He's on fire," you know, and we know that that's a term that is used in a lot of different ways. And I want you to think about it in this way. When people say he's on fire, when they say they're on fire, Sometimes they're talking about individuals who are enthused. They're talking about individuals who are excited. They're talking about people that are committed and they're determined and they're passionate in their practice and their cause. And today I want you to think with me in that terms, as such as he or she is on fire for God. And that's my title of my message today, On Fire for God. We have a church this morning that I believe is filled with professed Christians, people who have told of being saved, and they have a testimony, as we heard, of being saved in the Lord, and many of them have submitted into baptism and become a part of the Lord's church. Praise the Lord. I believe that's what the Lord wants. He wants people saved, and He wants them to be obedient to the next thing, which is the ordinance of baptism. And I'm thankful for those that do. But that being said, I want to ask you this morning, would or has anyone ever accused any of you of being on fire for God? Have you been accused of being enthused? Have you been accused of being excited? Have you been accused of being passionate about the cause or the practices of Christ? There may be some this morning who are thinking, what's the deal, preacher? You need to take it down a notch or two. I want to help us as God's people. My message is never to be a discouragement to God's people. It's to be an encouragement to God's people. We should be looking at our lives. My wife and I were talking about it this morning, about how we compartmentalize our lives. She says I never listened to her, but I heard her. And we compartmentalize our lives in different areas. And we seem to put the Lord and compartmentalize Him over here too. But He's not supposed to be compartmentalized. He's supposed to be our life. And these other things are in our lives as we go through our lives. And, you know, for me this morning, the big deal is that every minute that passes, on average, 108 people die. 6,500 people approximately are going to die this morning somewhere in the world while we're sitting right here in our service today. How many of those people are going to die without God? How many of them are going to die without an experience of salvation, without a relationship with the Lord? How many of them are going to die without the Lord and spend eternity separate and apart from God in hell? A place that God prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to say how many, other than to say this morning, I believe too many. Too many people die and leave this world without a relationship with the Lord. Why? Why does that happen? You say, well, because they never put their faith and trust in Jesus. Well, that's true. But I think it goes beyond that. I think the why is because somebody that was in their pathway, somebody that was in their life, was not on fire for God. Somebody in their life or their pathway was not enthused. They were not excited, and they weren't committed, and they weren't determined, and they weren't passionate about the cause and the practices of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think that Jesus was pretty clear in the book of Matthew, in the 5th chapter, beginning in the 14th verse, when He said, ye are the light of the world. He said, a city that sits on a hill, it cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And this is the part I like. This is the part we need to hear. Jesus, He said, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's pretty direct, isn't it? If we who are saved, if we live for Christ, we will be and we are a bright, shining light, showing those that are in our circle, those who are our friends, those who are co-workers, we're showing them what Jesus is like when they look at us. I think this is to be a priority of our life. We're to let our light shine. We're not to hide our light. It's a shame, but too many people, we hide our lights when we're quiet, when we should be speaking. We hide our lights, it seems, that when we go along with the crowd, instead of being that peculiar people that God's Word talks about. We hide our light, or we dim our light anyway, when we allow sin to creep into our lives. We hide our light when we don't explain our light to other people. When we don't share our testimony and our experience of salvation and the need to be saved, when we don't share that with other people, we hide our light. We hide our light when we ignore the needs of others that are around us. Brothers and sisters, don't shut off your light from the rest of the world. We've heard the expression, you may be the only Jesus that they see and hear. Be on fire for God. Be on fire for God. In the Bible, there's a man by the name of John the Baptist. John, I always say he is an imposing figure of history and of the Bible. In John chapter 1 and verse 6, it tells us there that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And it goes on to say that the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might live, might believe, He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, I'll tell you what, this is a powerful passage, and it has a powerful message. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you'll agree, but here's how I view it. I view you and me as the modern-day version of John the Baptist. Think about that. We are the modern-day version of John the Baptist. We're not the source of God's light. We merely reflect that light. We merely reflect the light of the Lord. Jesus, He is the one that is the true light. Jesus confirmed that to us in John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now listen, Jesus is gone physically. He is gone physically from this earth. He's gone physically from this life. He, having died on the cross of Calvary, He ascended up into the portals of glory. He's taken His place at the right hand of the Father. But Jesus has chosen, He's chosen you and I, brothers and sisters, to be able to reflect this light, His light, to an unbelieving world today, to point them to Jesus and to tell them about the importance of having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ so that they no longer walk in darkness of this world, that they no longer are subject to sin and the consequences of sin, but that they can come to the light and they can experience the love of the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance and faith. I don't know about you, but I think about that a lot, and it is an important and it is a serious responsibility that God has given to His people to carry for Him, to share the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My text verse, 1 Peter again, 1 and 7, said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Peter, I believe, was telling us that our work for the Lord is not going to always be easy. I believe he was telling us that the work that we do for the Lord is not always going to be received with open arms by those who are unbelievers in the world. But still, he says, we got to let our light shine. And we've got to accept that trials are going to come as we try to stand for the Lord. But if we could just get in our minds and just get in our hearts that, you know what, that's part of what God's refining process is within our lives, that it will help us and prepare us to be able to grow in the Lord, that we can be even more effective for Him every day of our life as we try to share with people about our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. I really believe that these trials that we experience and the sufferings that we go through, the persecutions that we go through, brothers and sisters, if we're in the right mindset and have the right heart about it, they will strengthen us in our faith, and it'll show the world that our faith is genuine. And what I mean by that, it'll show the world that the faith that we have in our God, it's real. And it's real to us. It'll make us even more, I believe, useful unto the Lord as we walk this earth trying to please Him. And I think we see that this morning in the lives of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego this morning. Because I looked at these men and I thought about these men. And I thought, these men, they were different. These men, they were different. They weren't afraid of the king. And they weren't afraid of this golden image that stood some 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. That would have been a pretty imposing image that was before them that they were to bow down to. But they were different. And let me say this, different is not necessarily bad. Different is not always bad. I think about Jesus. Jesus, He was different. He was righteous in a sinful world. And kids, what that means is Jesus was good. What it means is that the Lord was blameless. And most importantly of all, it means that Jesus was sinless. He was righteous in the world. He was different. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. This is what it says. For even hereunto were ye called. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us, listen, leaving us as an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again, when He suffered, He threatened not, and committed Himself to Him that judges righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Christians, we are to be different because of what Jesus did, and we're to be different because of what Jesus said. He demanded a different life from His followers than that of the lives of those that are in the world and unbelievers. He demands that of us. These men that we have before us this morning, they didn't fear the king. They didn't fear the king. When they are asked in verse 15, who is that God that should deliver you out of my hands? Deliver you out of my hands. That king thought he was a powerful man. You know, who do you think is going to take you out of my hands? You don't bow down and worship me. Who's going to save you? Who's going to deliver you? I like their response. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, they're saying, we're not afraid to answer you. You want to know the answer to the question? We're going to give you the answer to the question. We're not afraid of you, King. And because of their faith, I believe because of their faith, they were spiritually on fire for God. They were committed. They were determined. They were passionate about the practice and the cause for Christ. Brothers and sisters, do you remember the thrill of being saved? Do you remember the thrill of becoming a Christian? The experience of that new life, of becoming, as the Scripture says, that new creature in Christ, where old things passed away, and behold, all things become new? I wonder sometimes, have we lost the joy and the goal of our salvation? I wonder sometimes, has the fire of that fresh, or the fire of that new faith that we experienced when we were saved, has it departed from us? I wonder sometimes, have we become comfortable or God forbid, have we become complacent in this world in our Christian walk? I can tell you this morning, I pray not. I pray that's not the cause for any of us. You know, as our world changes, and our world is changing. Our world's changing. You know, we talk about all these election stuff, you know. I finally got my first one. I was waiting for it, but I have the first recording on the church answer machine of the organizations that are calling the churches and saying, please, don't vote for this person. Announce to your church, don't vote for this person. Tell them to go to the website. And, you know, our world is changing. And no, I'm not going to tell you who it was. But what I'm saying to you this morning is our world is changing. And as it moves forward in time, God's people, you and I, are going to be called upon to take risks for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we are going to embrace the challenge of living differently for God's sake, we're going to have to, and we're going to need a strong dose of courage. We're going to need a strong dose of faith. We're going to need to be on fire for God, just like these three men were, so that we can stand boldly for the Lord when we need to do that. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were dedicated. And these men, they were very direct. They declared unto King Nebuchadnezzar that their God was able to deliver them. Listen again. They said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But I want you to really hear their attitude here. These guys, I believe, were on fire for God. They were standing boldly for the Lord, but they also understood the reality of things. They said boldly to the king, you know what? If God wants to deliver us, God is going to deliver us. But you know what? Listen to what they said next. But if God doesn't deliver us, and I think this is a key for God's people today. You know, people ask so many things of God, and when God doesn't give them what they want, all of a sudden their faith begins to diminish. But listen, they were strong in their faith. They believed God could deliver them. And when they said, but if not, it wasn't for a lack of faith. They said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They backed up their faith with true commitment. Either way, they were not going to plead for their lives. Either God would deliver them and show a great demonstration of power to all those people, or they were going to remain faithful unto God and let God use their committed faith to speak to a world of sin. But they were strong in their faith in what the Lord could do in their lives. And they surrendered themselves under the hands of God. Either way, whatever whose will was, whatever God's will was for their life. That's the part we forget to pray about sometimes, brothers and sisters. We pray for a lot of things, but we forget to pray for what God's will is. And we need to pray for what God's will is in our life. Sometimes that's good stuff, but sometimes we're going to have to suffer a little bit for the cause of Christ, to stand boldly and be a witness and a testimony for Him. I'll tell you what, they surrendered themselves completely under God, and no matter what the king did to them, they could not, or they would not, I guess I should say, worship the gods of Babylon, nor would they worship that golden image of the king. These young believers, they knew that God could rescue them, but they also realized that God just might choose to let them die as a testimony of their faith to the Lord. I believe there's going to be a day in the future, I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime, but it may be, may not be, but there's going to be a time where people are going to have to choose. They're going to have to choose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and live, or they're going to have to choose to not denounce and reject God and profess to be a child of God, and it's going to cost them their life. Will we have the faith that we need in our Lord when that day comes? When a testimony of complete surrender and almost an inconceivable faith is needed, I wonder if we'll be able to do that. I'll tell you what, it's a testimony that's needed not only by this generation, but by every generation that has ever lived and ever will live. We need to stand boldly for our Lord. And, you know, I think, as I think about the scriptures, you know, these three were much like Job. we look in the gospel and you remember what Job had been through at the hand of Satan. You remember how the scriptures talked about how he lost all his children. He had the death of his children. He lost his livestock. He had physical ailments. And you remember what he said? He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job's great hope and his great trust that he had in God, it wasn't diminished by all of these things that he was experiencing and going through. Job said that he would still trust and hope in God no matter what. Even if God took everything from him, and even if God slew him and took his life because of his faith, Job, I believe, by his example, was on fire for God. He was on fire for God. He was committed. He was determined. He was enthused and excited and passionate about his Lord. I'm not going to turn over there, but I think it's in the very last chapter, the 42nd chapter of the book of Job. If you'll turn over there and read that sometime, you will find, because he was on fire for God, because his faith was so strong, God blessed him more in the latter of his life than at the very beginning of his life. Why did God do that? Because he remained on fire for God and was a strong witness and gave testimony of God. And I think this morning, because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand for the Lord, we see the reaction sometimes of what happens. In my reading, you heard me say that King Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. He was full of fury. When they said what they said, the king was enraged. The king was angry. So angry that he called for the furnace to be heated up 7 times greater than it was normally heated. The king called out his mightiest of men and told them to bind them and to throw them into the furnace. They were obedient soldiers. They did exactly what the king said. I'll tell you what, as they threw them into that fiery furnace, it was heated up so much the flames came out, and literally they died. They literally died because of that. As I thought about these men literally being thrown into that fiery furnace, of course, we already know the outcome. We know the outcome said that they were delivered. Their faith and their commitment and their passion for the Lord, it resulted in their deliverance. They were saved by the Lord. King Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we throw 3 in there? Well, I see 4, and 1 is like unto the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ walked with them in the fire. The Scripture said they weren't harmed at all. The only thing that may have burned was the ropes that held their hands. Their head, the hairs on their head wasn't singed. Their clothes weren't burned. And they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. You know what that's like. If you ever grilled, I am not a grill master, so you know, if I go out and grill, you know, I come in and half the hairs on my arm are singed off. It's like, oh, you know, nothing happened to them. The Lord delivered them entirely. And the Bible said that the king, he was astonished. The king was startled. The king was alarmed at what he had experienced and what he saw. What a great demonstration that day of who had the power. The king thought he had power. He learned that day that he didn't have any power compared to our Lord and Savior. In fact, let's look at what it said here. Verse 28. And I want you to notice what a difference that this made in their lives. Think about the attitude the king had when they would not do what the king wanted to do. The king exerted his power, but it wasn't as strong as the power of God. Now I want you to see the difference that God makes in people's lives when they see God's working through his people who are on fire for him. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that what? That trusted in him and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Amen? Amen. We serve a great God who delivers today. He works in our lives and delivers us from many things of this life. He delivers people from the bondage of sin. If you've not been saved, He'll deliver you from that bondage of sin. He'll save your soul when you repent and trust in Jesus with all your heart. And you'll have the promise and assurance of the Lord, and you'll be able to exercise that faith that God gives us. I believe today that, you know, God is searching for people that are on fire. God is searching for people that are on fire. The question really is, will we be like these three? We can look at the lives of people and their faith, and we can apply it to our lives. It can encourage us, and it can help us. I don't know about you, but I never feel like I'm there yet. I'm not there yet. I want to get stronger in my faith. I want to get closer to the Lord. I want to know more about His Word. I want to know more about His teachings, and I want to apply them to my life. Will we be like these three? Tried in the fire. Literally tried in the fire, but ended up being on fire for God. The lost of this world, brothers and sisters, they need us to be enthused. They need us to be excited. The lost of this world, they need us to be committed. They need us to be determined. They need us to be passionate in our practice and in our cause for the Lord. They need us to be on fire for God. And my prayer today is, may the Lord bless you in your efforts for Him. That's my prayer today. The work is great. It breaks my heart to think of how many people, just while we've been sitting here, have died and left this world without hope. And I pray that maybe something in the message today, maybe it inspired all of us, I hope, just a little bit. Instead of asking the preacher to take it down a notch or two, maybe the preacher's encouraged you to take it up a notch or two. And think about your family. Think about those in your immediate family that are lost. And then broaden the circle a little bit. Think about your neighbors round about you. Go a little farther, the places where you work, the people that you work with. And try to go out with a conscious effort to remember, I want to be on fire for God. I want to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives me to tell my story of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He saved my soul. Too often we duck the opportunities. We don't want the opportunities. We don't want to get involved in some deep conversation, afraid it's going to go to some theological depth that we can't comprehend or handle. Don't think that way. Think about the deliverance that the Lord gave them. And think about the deliverance that He'll give you. You know, deliverance comes in a lot of different ways. Deliverance comes from escaping from things, but deliverance also comes when you're in a conversation with somebody and you don't think you know something, and all of a sudden you're quoting Scripture and you're like, where did that come from? Well, where it came from is you studied it and read it somewhere, and in the right moment, in the right time, God brought it to your remembrance so you could use it to be a witness for Him as you were on fire for Him. God amazes me all the time, how He works in my life and how He works in the lives of those round about me. And I praise and thank God for it. Brothers and sisters, being a child of God is the greatest thing in the world. What a gift that God gave us. There's not a single one of us, and I think I can say this with assurance, there's not a single one of us in here that deserved to be saved. We didn't deserve it. Aren't you glad today that it's the gift of God? I am today. And because of that gift, I've got the assurance of the songs we sang this morning. It's going to be a great day one day when I enter into the portals of glory and enjoy that experience. But as I always try to say, it's a wonderful day right now, today, to be a child of God. It's a wonderful day to be able to assemble in the house of God with my brothers and sisters in Christ and to be able to sing songs that lift up the Lord Jesus in praise. It's wonderful today to listen to my brothers and sisters say, I'm saved. I thank the Lord for saving my soul and to share their witness and testimony. It's a wonderful day today to be fellowshipping with all of you today. I enjoy it so much. I look forward to coming every time that we have the doors of the church open. But I also understand that we're here with a purpose. If we didn't have a purpose, God would just save us and take us. But He doesn't do that because as I said in the very beginning, and I'm going to close, but as I said in the very beginning, we are the ones that God has chosen to continue expressing His Word to the world. We're the John Baptist of today. Talk about that light, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that we'll do that. Let that take a higher priority in our lives as you think about your families and you think about your friends. I don't believe there's a one of us here today that would want any of our families. There's not a one of us here that should want our worst enemy to die in their sins and go to hell. Therefore, we need to be on fire for God. And we need to share His Word to those round about us. May God bless you. That's my message today. I wonder if there, I know we have to take up our maintenance offering in a minute, but before we get to that, I wonder if there's a word of testimony in anyone's heart. Anything at all. Okay. All right. Let's remember that. Anything else on your heart? If not, if I could have a couple of deacons come forward. Fourth Sunday mornings is our maintenance offering. If you're visiting with us today, of course, you're not obligated to give to this offering. And we appreciate those who do give. The monies from this offering go to the upkeep of our church and keeps the lights on, the air running, the heat running, and we appreciate your giving in that. Brother Dwayne, would you ask the Lord's blessing on this offering, please?